All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We're talking about the Center for Family Business out at Penn State Behrend, and we're glad to find out more about it with Ozgun Demirag. She is the interim director of the Black School of Business. Welcome to the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You got it here. We've got Chris Harbin, the academic director of the Center for Family Business. Chris, good to see you again, sir.
Thanks.
All righty. So let's identify terms here. What is the Center for Family Business?
The Center for Family Business is an outreach program from Penn State Behrend that was created about 3 years ago. It's a membership-based organization, so we have 53 members, and we put on programming, education programs. The idea is to help family businesses be able to sustain themselves, not just as a successful business, but from one generation to the next, to keep that family business in the family.
And this is something that we didn't know that we needed this until really recent decades, where many family businesses would just kind of either sell out to a large corporation or just kind of vanish, right?
Well, family business has been a significant driver of the economy across the United States, but around here in the Erie region, you know, 90% of the businesses are related somehow to a family business. So it has a direct impact, and there has to be something. The problem with family business is the family, and not a lot of people want to talk about that part.
Right.
It's not necessarily the business part, it's the family part.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I can actually add on to the significance of the family businesses.
Sure.
So there have been several studies conducted focusing on, you know, at a national scale, reporting that family businesses make a significant impact on the U.S. economy, employment, and job creation. According to one recent survey, I think back to 2021, family businesses account for 54% of private sector GDP, and they are responsible for employing 59% of private sector workforce. Wow. And these businesses also have been great contributors, major contributors to the job creation. According to some surveys, again, up to 78% of the job creation in the U.S. If you also want to, if you are interested in maybe the effect of the COVID recently,
sure,
so
yeah.
Very recent, few businesses, of course, so we all know few businesses were immune to the challenges brought by the pandemic. And in fact, 81% of family businesses, they say that they suffered during the pandemic.
But 81%?
Yes,
wow.
According to the survey. But 60% were able to get through it without making any changes in jobs. So they were able to keep all their employees.
Okay.
And 69% supported their employees with paid leave and benefits. So I think overall these statistics help us recognize that these businesses are really a leading source of jobs and economic growth in the U.S. And even when times get tough, right,
sure,
during the pandemic. And additionally, these businesses also are great contributors to the communities that they are part of.
There's no doubt about it. Well, when you think about it, I mean, half the time or most of the time, these businesses are not going to be listed on the stock exchange. They're not going to be getting venture capital from Silicon Valley, although maybe for some startups you might have that. But I mean, and for the most part, these are the unsung heroes, like you said, and it's half the economy. That's really remarkable.
Well, and you think about it, too, it's a lot of small businesses. Every
right.
family business starts off not being a family business. So if someone has an idea, they start a business, it might be a mom and pop shop, might be a small restaurant, that all of a sudden starts to grow, mm-hmm. and it continues to grow, and it becomes a family business. So that's one of the things we're trying to give a message for, as well as being more proactive as you grow your business, as in terms of, if you think that you want to become a family business someday, there's things you have to have conversations about early on.
Talk about what those things, I mean, because I have a feeling like you're just so overwhelmed by the making that day work. So whether you're in a bakery or you have a, you know, a automotive shop, and, you know, you're that mechanic, and, you know, my dream is to have my own garage. Mm-hmm. Well, you have your garage, and then your kid comes up, and maybe you teach your kid how to be a mechanic. And so there you go, right? I mean,
and it's one of those things where you say, I'm so busy handling the day-to-day tasks of running the business that I can't be thinking about succession planning, meaning, how am I going to transfer the business to my kids? Do I even want to do that? Do my kids want to be involved in that? Not just that. How am I going to grow the business? How am I going to structure ownership? So a couple of the issues that we talk about quite a bit, not just succession planning,
right.
but boards. So sometimes you have entrepreneurs that are starting businesses, particularly family business entrepreneurs. They're very protective of the business, protective of the ideas that they have in the business, and they sometimes become resistant to getting advice from other people outside the family. That's something that we find is one of the things that helps sustain a business, not just from generation to generation, but a business in and of itself. Get some outside advice.
You have to have that's a first tip here, is be willing to accept outside advice. Okay.
Right. Don't be so myopic where you think that you know everything. Good business people that have been able to sustain from generation to generation or through things like the pandemic, they're willing to recognize that, hey, there's something here that I don't really know everything about, but there's mm-hmm. people out there that can help me.
And so, yeah, talk about, you know, what you do at the center that would add value to that.
So there are so many unique challenges and distinctive, you know, features around family businesses. Like Chris mentioned, the succession planning, estate planning, exit and entry strategies, you know, all dealing with the family dynamics, some conflicts, you know, all those types of things. The good news is that if there is some intentional and thoughtful planning around all of these issues, and some, if the companies are open to adopting and employing some established best practices, these things really help. So they ensure that there's a generational transition, a successful generational transition at the companies, and also for the long-term success of those companies. So supportive resources definitely help. That's one main reason why the Center for Family Business at Black School has been established. So mm-hmm. it opened in fall 2021. So since its inception, we did experience a pretty substantial growth, I would say. Important outreach initiative of Black School of Business. So we want, as Black School, and also continuation with the Penn State Barron, would like to actively contribute to the economic development and prosperity in our region. And the center provides a crucial, it plays a crucial role for expanding our partnerships and our collaborations within our community. So through all those advanced programming, forums, and seminars, and our events, so the business leaders come together, they connect with each other, they educate themselves on certain areas or certain topics, but they also network with each other and they learn from each other, they really support each other. Because many times I think there's a misconception that, oh, this is a problem and I'm the only one having this
right.
problem. And turns out it's definitely not the case. Similar issues are being experienced by many other business owners. And by bringing all these business leaders together, and also getting some, authorities and some experts into the same room to be able to talk about what are some good practices that really work, it really makes an impact to the success of these companies. And that's one of our main goals.
Do you find that people approach family business in a different manner than maybe a local branch of a larger organization? Again, a larger organization might have those best practices delineated, Is it that it's not codified on a family business level, or they just don't have enough time to work on the business because they're so busy working for the business?
I don't think there's anything fundamentally different between what you're describing in a family business. I think there's a certain level of entrepreneurship that's demonstrated both by people that are starting a division or a branch of an established national firm versus starting a family business. But what does get to be problematic is, what are the resources out there? Do I have to behave differently because Uncle Joe is on my board or Aunt Sue is going to be my marketing director? That kind of can get in the way of making good business decisions. So it's not so much a lot of difference between a non-family business and a family business in terms of traditional business practices. It's just that additional family dynamic overlays some complications. In fact, I was just talking to someone who's going to be presenting a program for our center in March about the whole notion of family dynamics, about how do you have these critical conversations, these tough conversations, when you have to realize that maybe Cousin Joe isn't the right person for the role. And it becomes a little bit more difficult because you're going to see that cousin at Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you have to say, hey, I love you, but you're not good for my business. That becomes really tough.
Yeah, and the sooner that you can get to those understandings and really make that clear-eyed analysis of where you're going and what you're doing, I would think the better that you would get the desired outcomes. Talk about, you know, getting through those difficult moments, and how can the center help with all that?
So it those types of issues, so Chris mentioned one in one direction. So this person may assume that because they have been in the business, so they assume that they are going to be taking over the business and it's going to be theirs. But maybe the founders or other owners of the business may think that maybe that's he or you know, they are not the best person for the job. So and vice versa. So the founder or the, you know, whoever established the business may think his his or her child, you know, is gonna be taken over, but the child has no interest, you know, going for that. So we, first of all, I think through the program, through our peer groups, I would say at the center, we bring together these members, and they really just being able to talk about those challenges that they are having, and what are some strategies maybe that have worked for them dealing with these types of situations, learning those and sharing the tips. Along that direction, I think that helps a lot.
I think that's one of the most important features of the Center for Family Business, is the ability for people who are in family businesses or who are starting family businesses to understand that, hey, they're not alone. These are not necessarily unique programs. They're not living in a silo. So a lot of the things we do are bringing in existing family businesses. We've brought in some, we've been fortunate to bring in some really big names, including Travis Sheets, who's the CEO of Sheets Incorporated.
Wow.
Second or third generation family business. We've had
he doesn't spell it with a Z, though, I bet.
He does.
He does.
And he actually talked about that at an event. It's kind of a funny story. It was like his Uncle Joe went to a conference, and there was someone that spelled it with his same name, and he said, oh, I like it with a Z. So he went home and told his wife, hey, honey, we're changing our name. But so these anecdotes come from some of the people that we bring in front of our members, and they all of a sudden say, wow, I have something in common with Sheets. I have something in common with White Castle. I have something in common with Spangler Candy. I have something in common with all these different businesses, and I'm not alone. And it creates this energy where people are talking back and forth. We share that at peer groups. We share that at our monthly activities. Tomorrow we're announcing our programs for the first half of 2024. We have 10 things going on, something each month, including our annual leadership development program, which we do in two parts. We have a succession planning workshop, and we're also doing our first ever conference that's going to feature three keynotes, a bunch of breakouts, keynote from someone named Dick Seaman, who runs Seaman Industries over in Ohio.
Yeah.
Makes a product that no one probably is aware of, but it's he's a second generation. Now it's in the third generation, $270 million in revenue each year. And we're ending the day with a keynote speaker whose father owns Cincinnati Reds. His grandfather founded Minute Maid and Chiquita Brands. And then interspersed is a bunch of other people that people can share experiences with.
That's really remarkable. We're talking about the Center for Family Business. with Dr. Harbin and Dr. Demirag from Penn State Barron. And this is a fascinating subject because there's an overall goal here, as I see it, and tell me if I'm wrong or not. But Dr. Demirag, you said that this is basically half of our GDP. And if we can make sure that family businesses are strong and thriving, it makes an impact on the local economy. And we won't see, especially when it comes to like manufacturing or things that can be done anywhere, that we won't see that business and those jobs just kind of vanish out of our market. You know, you think about so many of the homegrown businesses, especially in manufacturing, that just kind of vanished. They were purchased by a large company. Well, I think about IP buying Hammermill. That's kind of the classic Erie story. IP buys Hammermill. You wouldn't be Penn State Barron without Otto Barron, you know, donating the land and the money for the campus. But now that that paper plant doesn't exist here anymore, right? And so, how do you keep in the nitty gritty of the business? How do you keep it strong and keep it vibrant? What are some of the conversations you're seeing at the center there?
Talking about some of the so you said that the business owners, the operators are very busy with their day-to-day operations, yeah. They have to take care of those things and they take priority. So some of those succession planning or other planning activities may delay thinking about this, right? But then when they see with the peer groups or some other members or through some of our conferences and seminars, if they get to thinking about maybe it's time to talk about this and it's time to tackle these.
I mean, think about line extension, for example, or doing a SWOT analysis of who might be potentially a threat or new competition. You've got to allow some bandwidth, right? When you're operating even a smaller family business.
Yes, strategic planning is actually one of the topics that we routinely cover in terms of talking about how they can go about it. And also, I think one important input to that is that if the companies realize that impact that you were talking about, because it doesn't really affect the well-being of that or financial health of that company, but it's the whole community, it's the whole families being able to bring these families here, train, educate these people here. So it's the entire community that can be negatively affected, mm-hmm. if these businesses were to fail. So I think that's a good point to make to help them understand that it's really worth pursuing all these efforts.
At the risk of discounting the role of Barron in this whole thing, because I think we bring a lot to the table. Yeah. The biggest asset in the center is the members itself. So members themselves. So for example, to your question about how does a member improve their business, get stronger, compete better, have more success as a business, one of the best ways is by participating in the peer groups. So the peer groups, these are groups of people that meet every month. We have two of them actively going on right now. And we keep them from different industries, different generation levels. They meet once a month and they share their experiences.
Are they categorized, these two groups, or not necessarily?
We try to not, we don't have them categorized by, okay, all of you people are first generation or all of you are
manufacturing.
And actually there's an advantage.
Service.
There's an advantage to not doing
that.
Because
tell me
then
why.
You get an echo chamber, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of value in someone that's in the service industry talking to someone who's in the manufacturing industry. And even though you might think on the surface their businesses are different, mm-hmm. the challenges are very similar. They both provide a product. They both provide a service. They both have customers. They both have employees. And what we find is it creates this very high level of energy where someone came in one time and says, look, I just need to fire this employee. Here's the situation. And the discussion that ensued from that just grew, and they helped. And there's another one, I've got this product line, or I have someone that's thinking about buying a part of my business. What would you guys do? this is valuable conversation. I think underlying everything that we try to do at the center is have businesses have conversations that they otherwise wouldn't have at a time they should.
You're providing a forum
exactly
that didn't exist before now for all that.
And this, to Chris's point about how maybe sometimes diversifying the the groups, so not necessarily having them from the same industry, it actually works quite well. Also because there are in literature we see that all the time. For example, did you know that hospital operating rooms, the flow of the equipment, where to place things. So it's a good model for that is where the the tires are changed for the sports cars. Like it is the same flow and the logic. Yeah, it's just the same efficiencies can be applied to an operating room. It's completely two completely not unrelated areas. But the other thing I also want to mention that we also ask the members about what they want to learn. So we ask them about what are some pressing issues, topics that you would like to learn about. And one of those I want to talk about, for example, the new technologies, digital technologies, right? So especially during the pandemic, lots of businesses adopted or enhanced their digital technologies. They went for maybe virtual payment methods. Mm-hmm. Things went on to cloud systems, and those initiatives may bring lots of efficiencies into their operations and streamline those, and also provide some direct contact with the customer. So those are all good.
By the way, has this been a good year for business? Is this going to be an upper, kind of a marginal year, Doc? What do you think for 2023? What are you hearing?
For the school or generally in business?
Yeah.
In business.
I mean, have we recovered from the pandemic? And
looks like so. Things are picking up, yeah.
I mean,
there's probably a better center to talk to about that. That would be, the Erie Center. So we do.
That's true. You have the Erie Center up there, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I can actually talk to that. So we talked about how the other business owners, so we have the conferences hosting these business owners that come and talk, but also through the Black School centers and faculty that we have in-house, we are able to engage with this, so there are a lot of engagement opportunities with the center. Economic Research Institute of Erie, that can provide a lot of data that can be useful for our members at the Center for Family Business. And yeah, we want these businesses are faced with lots of unique challenges and but at the same time, a good business is a good business, regardless if they are, if they are a family-owned business or non-family.
So I mean, if you think about, what the bank is looking for, let's say 1.5 or 1.2 to 1.5x over your expenses. And so if you're making 20% over expenses, you're doing pretty good profit margin, right?
Anecdotally, we're having good year from feedback from our members, sort of conversations that I'm having with members at the peer groups, at some of the events. The energy's been good. I'm hearing good things, expansion, adding employees when they can. They would like to add more.
So there's still a workforce deficit right now.
Depending on the industry as well. So especially in the service industry, restaurants. So our restaurant members are struggling to find someone to stay. And that's one of those things that, we know this is an issue. So how can we help? Where can we put people connected? Maybe we don't have the expertise right at Barron. When we do, we utilize it. But one of the things is trying to keep our eyes open, whether it's existing members, you need to talk to this member, or we have sponsors that help provide financial support for the center. We link them up with some of the skills that our sponsors bring. So we're looking at, we're not going to be the answer for everybody, but we're trying to find the answer, connect them with those answers.
Well, I would imagine, your Sheets fellow, the Mr. Sheets would say, hey, okay, this is how we do our employee retention. These are some of our employee retention programs. And then, of course, there's all the, the famous ones. Everybody wants that Chick-fil-A culture, or that, some of the other, cultural icons that are in big business, right? What is it, Hilton or something like that?
And culture is one of the things.
What is it, Walmart?
Walmart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Culture was one of the things that Travis Sheets talked about when he was here. He talked about the fact that, you know, they have this particular culture they're looking for, where it's a family business that wants its all its employees to feel like they're family. And mm-hmm. I think that is a sustainable model, right? Because if you have a family business owned by family, one of the issues is that you brought up before is, what about the non-family member employees? Do they feel left out? Do they feel like they're still part of it? Because if it's handled wrong, it can create a division between the family member employees and the non-family member employees. This is something that successful family businesses have learned, but we're trying to help the newer family businesses or other family businesses that haven't thought about that think about it sooner, so they don't let the other companies have hit the potholes, learned a lesson, so that before you hit the pothole, you know which way to steer.
What do you find out about access to capital with these small businesses? Are they struggling?
I'm not sure that that's anything that has particularly come up been aware of.
I don't remember that being
So generally, if they're making their ratios, they're able to get their loan from the bank or their investors.
It's an interesting question, but I think part of it is, if you think about the type of businesses that have actively been a part of our center, these are already people who are active with their business.
Yeah.
They're either highly established or they're energized enough to know that they don't know everything.
Okay.
So a lot of the, and we really need to do a good job reaching out to those businesses that have been struggling. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it might be hard to find them, because if we're offering programming, we hope that they come. We hope that they take advantage of it. But oftentimes they're not. So we're reaching out to our members. Hey, if you know someone, you know, sponsor them to be a member. You know, we've talked about with the advisory board offering scholarships, essentially, to get members to become part of the center when they might be financially struggling.
Okay.
And that leads me to another point. One of the things that is something that's a focus this year is reaching out more to the minority community yes. business area. We've just had a panel at one of our programs on minority and women-owned family businesses. Are there unique issues? Are there unique challenges? Mm-hmm. It was a very vibrant discussion. We're going to do the same type of thing at the conference. And as we grow, now that we've been around for essentially 3 years, we've hit a maturity level where we can be able to do that with more energy. In fact, I'm supposed to be meeting with Erie's Black Wall Street next month. We've already talked to them a couple of times. So look for more of that kind of collaborative programming for some of the underserved businesses as well.
One of the things that I won't use the word alarming, but one of the things that is the felt need for bringing up the Center for Family Business is this concept that we've seen in many, many Erie businesses where the outside offer from whether it's the aggregator or the larger organization is just too good to be true. I was watching a documentary on drive-in movie theaters, and this movie theater in LA was selling out for 25 years worth of revenue is what his land was worth. And so basically he would not be able to match what the offer was if he operated for the next 25 years and what his net revenue would be. So it was just that good of a deal. And they were going to just level it and build, you know, an office park or something like that. What happens when the money's just too good to not sell out?
We lose the business in the area. It goes away. You know, that might be a good one-time thing for that family, but we don't have the data yet. It's one of the things we're looking at is what is the actual financial impact. We have the Erie Center actually working on looking at this data from a family business perspective. Can we break out the data from small business to family business?
And is there something about this moment insofar as a lot of boomers are like, hey, I'm 65. I'm 67. I'm 70. I'm done. Put a fork in me.
Well,
I want to go on my bass boat. I bought the bass boat 20 years ago. I haven't been on it more than 5 times, you know?
this is one of the conversations that needs to happen earlier. But to your point, if you've gotten to that age and you've never thought about it, and then all of a sudden you find that you don't have any family members to take over the business, or there are family members that could take over the business, but they can't pay you anything, you haven't done any planning to be able to sustain yourself into your golden years to be able to enjoy yourself, then the decision becomes easy. But one of the things that we're doing, in fact, there's a group of us are going to go to a national conference to present on this concept, is talking about just being an owner. You know, hire out people to run the business. You maintain ownership, develop the business in such a way that you increase the value so that it can create some income for you. The asset stays in your family, and then you do get to relax. Maybe you sit on the board. Maybe you don't sit on the board. Maybe your kids sit on the board, but you don't have to worry about running the business on a day-to-day basis. And one of the problems has been the magazines that a lot of family business owners read, they're telling them, look, you only have two choices, either sell or hope you have enough kids to transfer the business to. We've been having a declining birth rate for a long time, so this problem is going to be a continual problem.
Wow.
So it's difficult, you know, family business might have difficulties in thinking about, you know, planning all of that. When do I exit, or do I have a plan in place? But this is really, I forgot the percentages, but even Fortune 500 companies, if you talk to the current CEOs or, you know, of these companies, they also are reported to, you know, not have a very specific exit strategy.
Look at Disney. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Disney had to call back Iger because whoever was in the plan, it didn't work.
And we have several examples in our own membership of people who are currently running their businesses who didn't plan on being running their family business. A death happened, and you're the next person up, or there was something that happens there. And this is one of those tragic things. So even one of the things, and you kind of mentioned this before, about the succession planning is a conversation that happens about the end. It might be about the end, but it energizes the middle. If you don't have this planned out, my wife's family business was exactly that. Her dad died, then her mom died, and next thing you know, my wife, who's a school teacher, is left owning the business that she had no idea about. We're trying to prevent these things. We're trying to prevent these potholes, these sharp turns in the road that could, you know, really hamstring a business from succeeding.
We're down to our last 5 minutes with our friends from Pensley Baron and the Center for Family Business. Talk about how people can get involved and what's a good catching point with making a connection with the center here.
Well, let me give our website, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It's familybusiness.psu.edu. Familybusiness.psu.edu. That site is going to be upgraded over the next month or so, but it's a repository for all of our activities. Come to one of our activities, connect with us. A lot of them are open and free for the public. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to be a member, but usually if people talk to me and they're not a member, we can get you in there as a guest and see what we're doing. The biggest thing is do something. Come and talk to our members. Come and meet the people that have been participating. Like I said, we have 10 things going on in the next 6 months that can cover everything from tax planning to family dynamics to estate planning to succession planning. All those things are coming up. Even the leadership development program, you know, people can benefit from every level of the organization. By the way, I think this is another point to make, is you don't have to be the owner of the business to be the only one involved. Our businesses are, our members are the company itself. So the company can send junior managers to participate in our programs to help strengthen their farm team, their bullpen.
That's smart.
Yeah, many of the attendees for the leadership development program, they are actually from those companies. So they are not necessarily the leaders or the owners. I also want to say that through Black School of Business, definitely, I mean, the center is backed by by the Black School of Business. And so anybody interested in the center can contact Black School. And also we do have, so we are trying to incorporate So, for example, with our certificates, academic programs, or our faculty expertise, we are trying to align or with the needs of the center or the, you know, the, the focus. For
example, are you seeing a lot of undergrad and graduate students that are interested in this family business concept, vis-a-vis, you know, I'm going to go work for Lockheed Martin or something?
Yeah, we are actually discussing about some certificates along those directions for the undergraduate students. But also another area is, so this technology, new technologies, AI, the effect of AI.
Oh,
I have actually some numbers. Survey this year, you know, it came out focusing on family businesses in North America. 84% of these family businesses are already embracing new technology in some form, and 26% said that the AI has changed their business already.
Wow.
Or if it hasn't, 49% said that they believe that it's going to change in the coming 5 to 10 years. So at Black School, Penn State Barron, we are developing new certificates in AI and also cybersecurity, because one risk that comes through those new technologies is that all these cybersecurity problems, and it's a problem because customers, employees, they, when they decide whether they can trust the company or not, data security, it is important for them.
Absolutely.
So the companies need to do well in that area. So that's why we are developing this certificate, three different types of certificates. One is focusing on cybersecurity and forensics investigations with applications in accounting and finance and AI. And we are crafting these certificates for them to be accessible to the current business owners, the employees, so without any prerequisites, you know, so they are very, very accessible to for them to complete within the by the community, businesses in our community.
And these are things that a lot of family businesses haven't given a whole lot of thought of.
No.
It's another example of let's have these conversations. Let's think about the things you haven't thought of now, before all of a sudden you're left in the dust.
Would you give the advice of saying, you know, if you've not designated on an intentional basis a certain percentage of your work week toward working on the business and working on these kinds of things that you would learn at the Center for Family Business, then you're really kind of missing out here. You know?
I think you're setting yourself up for ultimate failure.
Yeah.
I mean, the successful businesses have realized that they need to be thinking forward down the road, not just about what do I need to do today? Okay, so what do I need to do today for tomorrow? What's tomorrow bringing? That's one of the things we do.
Beautiful. Well, we appreciate you guys taking the time. We've got Dr. Chris Harbin here, the academic director of the Center for Family Business. Dr. Ozgen Demirag, she is the interim director of the Black School of Business. And we appreciate you sharing your expertise and the efforts to kind of keep companies in the Erie region vibrant. And that's the all of us are wishing that kind of success.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking the
Thanks,
time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from talkerie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.